Good evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Ken Herbrick, Owosso Assembly of God. Pastor.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the men and women that serve in this council. We thank you for the time that they give, and we just pray tonight that you'd bless them and help them, Lord, as they make decisions for our city. Lord, we pray your guidance, and we thank you for it in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. The Pledge of Allegiance will be presented tonight, or started tonight, by Director Ryan Suhanek. Director.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Harbor.
Here.
Council members Fear.
Here.
Ludington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of January the 20th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve. Olson.
Support.
Thank you.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of January the 20th, 2026 is approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which we have none. This brings us now to the public hearing, which we have one, special assessment district number 2026-02. And I'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Woodlawn special assessment, we're on resolution 3, so this is the estimated portion that the city engineer provides. This is the step right before we go to bid. I know it's been a while since we've done one of these, and it will probably be a long while until we do one again. But so this is for just a short stretch of Woodlawn between Monroe and M71. This is because the city has plans to replace the sanitary sewer gravity main under that portion of Woodlawn. The condition of the street is on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, is rated a 4 with rehabilitation recommended by the city engineer as part of our PASER study that we do typically every 3 years. Best guess is the last time this part of the street has had considerable attention was in 1973, probably when it was paved the first time. This is where it's going to deviate a bit from the packet. What happened was there were two lots on the corner that didn't have a corner discount. So this represents a little under $8,000 reduced from the commercial share of the special assessment. So the total project costs $345,000. There are no residential properties there, so the commercial properties along that portion, total assessed share would be $52,400. As with a lot of these smaller assessment projects, the city is, through its portion of the assessment and the at-large cost, is taking on most of the cost for the reconstruction at 85%. The commercial share for the handful of lots there is about 15% of the cost. Once again, this is all based on estimates from the city engineer and then divided by the linear feet on both sides of the street being reconstructed to calculate the per front foot amount. So that's how we come to our calculated front footage amount. And what's not included are any utility replacements. So the sewer is going to be replaced, but that's not assessed to anybody. The road-based material emplacement, sidewalks, driveway openings, those aren't assessed either. This is just a map of the proposed assessment area. Like I said, just a short section between Monroe and Corona Avenue there. The lots that were changed for the assessment rule were 638 and 702, the ones that are up on Corona Avenue. The other two down at the bottom that are owned by the railroad already did have corner lot discounts on them, but those two at the top didn't. So that will change. That's all I have.
Thank you, City Manager. With that, I would open it up to the public for comments, which would be allowed up to 3 minutes. Is there anybody? Not you yet. This is a public hearing. That's okay, Chairman. The public has up to 3 minutes to address the council on the specific public hearing. Is there anyone at this time that would like to address the council regarding this public hearing? Seeing none, I bring it back to the council for any comments.
I just have a quick question. With the updated amounts we got from the original packet that are now here, were the folks who are notified, did they get new letters with the corrected amounts, or were they sent?
No, the corrected amounts will be sent for Resolution 5.
Okay.
The Resolution 3 notices have already been out, and that's triggered by Resolution 2 approval.
Okay.
So we'll make sure those corrected ones go out once we get the bids back.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a question.
Yes.
Because on the PACER rating, we have it as the memo says rehabilitation. Is the proposed plan for that road, you said we were doing it because we were replacing this sewer line? Mm-hmm. Is that right? So are we, then we're not doing the rehabilitation, we're actually just, are we pulling it up altogether to be able to do that?
Yeah, in order to replace the sanitary gravity main, the road has to be dug into. So rather than just put a small patch down the middle of the road, not small, it's probably going to be wider than a lane. It's just as much to replace the entire street.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious.
Further questions? Seeing none, I'd be looking for a motion regarding special assessment district number 2026-02.
So moved.
Support. I have a motion of support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Beer.
Yes.
Owens. You're not here, sorry. Osmer.
Yes.
Luddington.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Pro Tem Tabor.
Yes.
Did I say it right this time? Mayor Tice.
Yes. The special assessment district number 2026-02 is approved. This brings us to our first citizen comments, in which you'll be allowed up to 4 minutes to address the council. I'm going to start with the chairman at this time, if you would, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Thank you. I'll try to be quick here for you. I just wanted to update. I don't assume I don't have to introduce myself. I think I know everybody in the room. So I just want to update you on some of the good work we're doing at the land bank, especially with regard to the city of Owosso. As you probably all know, the building on Cedar Street, the one that kind of leans, we've gotten $155,170 toward tearing that down. So that work is moving along very nicely. It'll be good to get that done and that street back open. So we've gotten that through the land bank. The building behind the Robins, you know, with the old cold storage facility back there, we've finally gotten that through. We have $129,800. We'll be tearing that down. In fact, Thursday at noon, there'll be a little, you can't call it groundbreaking because we're tearing the thing down, but some kind of a little ceremony. And please, anybody who wants to show up and participate and get in the picture and so on, I'd welcome all of you. So we'll be doing that. We also have, of course, our joint work with the city on the Exchange Street project, the old City Club, where I think we're pretty close to getting that done. We've brought in for the city $233,873, and I know the city is going to handle any overages and so on. So that brings a total that the land bank has brought in just for the city of Owosso of $518,843. And obviously, we've got some other things in the works. You all know about the Woodland Trails and the Washington Park projects, the development projects, which are going fairly well. We've got the housing rehab, but City of Owosso has their own. I know you're working on it yet tonight, but there's a new thing. We've got $500,000 coming for rental rehab. So landlords who own rental homes in the city, obviously in the whole county, but I'd certainly love to see some in the city. There will be monies available there to do certain types of rehab with some low income qualifications. So that is another thing I think that can be very positive for our city, and makes me very pleased with the work of the land bank since we got it started. If there aren't any questions or anything to do with county in general, I'd be happy to answer any.
Any questions for the chairman? Well, we want to thank you for coming, number one, and all the hard work you're doing and all these great projects that are coming about for the city. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you all for your time. I'll obviously be at the county keeping my eye out for more grants, more money that we can all work together on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mankey.
I'll make this real fast. I got another city council meeting. I got to get to it in about 10 minutes. But I just heard today, and I don't know how many of you know this, but the Argus put it out, so about 3,000 people are going to know tonight, that the library is looking at moving as early as 2027. They're going to buy the building down on Oliver Street, and they're moving out of the big library building. I talked to a person tonight that has been very involved in the library for a long, long time, and they stated that they didn't know anything about it until about 3 weeks ago. Something that you might not understand is that land, you own the building, but you don't own the land. The land, my understanding, as I've been instructed, is owned by the Woodard family. And once that becomes not a library anymore, they own the land. So, I want to toss something at you. We've got some time. Talking to some people, nobody wants... No, now I sound like Trump when I say nobody. A lot of people don't want to see that library closed and demolished or whatever. The library is always in the black. When they leave, they can take the bookcases. That's fine. I'm proposing that a new library goes in there owned by the city, or if not by the city, by a nonprofit that would call itself back to the Owosso Library instead of the Shiawassee County Library. And I think that it could still stay in the black. I think we've got enough resources here. If not, as I told Mr. Haber earlier today when I talked to him, I want to know what you want for it because I want to buy it. I'll sell everything I got. I want that building. It's not going to get destroyed. We can't. And it would be great for art, great for books, great for all kinds of things like that. I think a lot of us wouldn't want to see it to go into housing. We'd want to see it stay as a public space. And as I said earlier today, I'd move in the darn thing and have it as one great big open house like in New York you live in. You have a painter's loft. I call it the library loft. But I'd be interested in working with anyone or doing any marketing or whatever you guys got to save it. If they want to move, I think that we've got enough people that would come together and put another library in. All righty. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mankey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. For the comments. Seeing none, I'd bring it back to the council for any comments. Yes?
So I have a few, so bear with me. The first is I wanted to thank DPW workers. There were water main breaks last weekend right outside my house, and it was brutally cold, but they got it done, and then they had to come back like the next day because there was another break just like a little bit further away. But they were there. They worked through the bitter cold, so I wanted to send a big thank you to them. The second thing is, if you haven't seen it in the Argus or on our Facebook page, 2026 is the year of the nonprofit with the Cook Family Foundation and 9 participating nonprofits. And so the goal of this is to inform folks about what nonprofits do, the importance of them in the community, and to highlight all of them that exist right here in Shiawassee County. And for those who don't know, there are actually 650 registered nonprofits. That doesn't mean 650 of them are active, but that there are 650 501c3s. And we are doing radio spots, interviews, social media highlights, and a podcast is coming. So if you care about nonprofits and the work they do in the community, keep an eye on that and read the article on the front of the Argus page. And then the last thing, I just wanted to make a comment about the library because I knew this was going to be coming up, but the library has really outgrown their current building, like excessively. They don't have public meeting space. They barely have a boardroom for themselves. They need, as we all know on City Council, they need window work, heating system work, and it's all bathrooms. They're not ADA compliant. So there's a lot of things that go into the library wanting to move. I don't think it's because they're not happy with the historic building. It's just that they need more space, and they're hoping to be a bigger asset to the community by moving. So they'll be able to offer a lending library, public meeting space, a lot of new things that would better serve the residents of Owosso. And I think just keep your eye on that. There's more good things to come with it.
Thank you. Yep. Yes.
I have something prepared. I'm referring to these as my penny projects because you stack up pennies and they make a difference in the end. So this is my penny project for tonight, if you guys can bear with me. It's been kind of a rough go, I think, in the world right now. So my penny project tonight is on belonging. And I'll just read it. It says, belonging is a choice that we make in advance. So tonight I want to talk about something a little personal and yet totally relatable for any of our new residents, and that's to discuss how our community prepares itself for growth before that growth arrives. Because the time, I think, to build a culture of belonging isn't when the hard questions come to our doorstep, it's actually beforehand. So I'll start with something really small, very personal. Recently, my son, for you, those of you that know him, his name is Ari, he's 13, he became very interested in a drink that he read about called Kvass. It's a lightly fermented rye drink that's like a soda that it's been made for generations all over Eastern Europe. And he's been trying to make it at home since Thanksgiving, and the results have been pitiful. Really bad rye bread. Anyways, and so I thought, okay, I'll go looking for it like I would have in any other place that I've lived. And it actually took me toward Metro Detroit into this Polish market that I've never been to before. And I was delighted. The shelves were full of foods that I didn't grow up with, and the labels weren't even written for me. And for a moment, I found myself being the one learning how to belong in someone else's familiar space. And I think that richness exists here because people came here. They brought their food, and they brought their language, they brought their traditions and their skills, and over time, I think Michigan made room for them. When I moved to Owosso, 4+ years ago, I experienced that same openness immediately. My neighbors were extraordinarily welcoming. The schools were welcoming. Everyday interactions were warm and generous. And I know we've made a lot of inroads here, but so I'm not trying to throw mud, but it really wasn't until I entered civic leadership that I encountered a different narrative, the one where being from elsewhere carried suspicion, where choosing to move here somehow required explanation, and where new arrivals weren't treated as potential contributors, but as potential risk. And I think that contrast was so instructive to me, because it told me something that I think we could work on. The community is actually already way more welcoming than our civic posture will sometimes suggest. And so I think that this is about changing signals, not changing people. some things that I thought of that we could work on would be changing how we talk about new people before they actually arrive. Right now, when growth is discussed, it often shows up framed as pressure or strain, uncertainty, or something that needs to be managed very carefully. A small, powerful shift would be to speak about new residents as assets by default, not exceptions that we need to vet. Not how do we handle them, but what do they bring? Language will precede policy, and the tone is going to precede that trust. Another thing I think would be good is to make belonging visible, not just implied. Welcomeness can't just be assumed, it has to be seen. Cities like Holland and Traverse City or Marquette, they didn't wait to become large or diverse before they did this. They embedded it in public events that reflect multiple cultures, partnerships with cultural organizations, and with clear signals that newcomers were expected and not surprising. OWASO already hosts events. The shift isn't actually more programming, it's broader representation in the programming that we already do. And I think our DBA can maybe, we can work with them on expanding that representation. Another thing I thought would be great is to treat curiosity as a civic value. This is kind of, I think, where we can chime in, especially with our goal setting and everything coming up. But right now, I think unfamiliarity will sometimes trigger caution. But what if the default response to difference wasn't actually suspicion, but curiosity? And that can look like cultural exchanges, food or market events, storytelling spaces, or simply just modeling curiosity and how we as leaders speak about newcomers. When leadership models curiosity, I think the residents will follow. Or rather, in this case, I think that they lead us. We're behind them. So another thing would be to orient people to belonging and not just our services. We've talked a lot recently about the utilities and how we can point people in the right direction, and I think cities do a good job of pointing residents to where they have to pay utilities or how trash pickup works and what forms they need to fill out for a permit. But fewer cities are taking the time to explain how to plug into that community life. I know a lot of churches do this. They do a lot of great outreach and try to find a way to bring new residents into community, and I think we can do that without necessarily relying on churches to be the only source for doing that. So we can show residents how they can participate with local events and how they can feel like they also belong here. It's obviously a solvable problem, and belonging doesn't require permission, but it does oftentimes require invitation. So I think here's the thing. None of it's revolutionary. It doesn't require rewriting anything about who we are. It just requires us to decide who we want to be before we're being forced to decide under pressure. Because I think when community waits until change arrives to decide how it's going to feel about that change, it's usually going to react from fear. When it does decide in advance, it leads from confidence. I think we're already way more open than we sometimes give ourselves credit for. The question isn't whether we can be a welcoming city. The question is whether we are willing to say so clearly, early, and often in how we speak, how we plan, and how we signal belonging. That's my little note. And in light of the events of the last 2 weeks, I think it's worth clarifying that belonging cannot coexist with violence. Not selective violence, not conditional violence, or political violence. And I think if we are serious about being a welcoming community, then we must meet this moment with a serious condemnation of any of the violence as it's showing up in our communities and take a stand to tell everybody that we can get along, we can live, we can coexist, we don't need to do it with violence. So I would welcome all of my co-council members to take a page out of that and communicate with everybody around you. Condemn the violence. Condemn the excitement that seems to be in some people about how bad this can get. I think we need to quell it and try to calm it and encourage anybody that we have a platform with to take an anti-violence approach to things and not glorify the violence. So that's my penny project for tonight. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilwoman Wilson. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Further comments? Seeing none, does it bring us to the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve.
Support Emma Olson.
I have a motion.
I'm trying to give her our names.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor? Oh, excuse me. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Luddington.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Asmer.
Yes.
Owens isn't here. Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
sorry. And Mayor Teich?
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business, in which we have none tonight. This brings us to our second citizen comments, which you citizens will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone who would like to address the council this time? Yes, Chairman.
Mind if I just stand here?
You are welcome to stand
there. I was a 30-some-year citizen of Owosso. You all have had quite a difficult 12 to 18 months, and you've dealt with some really tough problems. So I have not envied you, but I wanted to say, as a citizen of Owosso, I really appreciate your work. I appreciate it can be difficult and it can be thankless, and you've all stepped up, and I just wanted to say thank you very much. I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad we have a highly competent city manager. I love Owosso, and I'm glad you're watching it for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. We appreciate the words. For the comments? Seeing none, this would bring us to the city manager's report. City manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Comparatively, it was a rather late month for me, just because almost two weeks out of that month, I was out of the office traveling for vacation and for our annual winter conference. But just to go over a few highlights, on January 6th, staff met with the new director of the Shiawassee Friends of the River. We explained, she asked us what the city's goals were for the river, and we explained that it's a continuation of increased access to paddlers and anglers, and to continue making the improvements to James Minor Trail. Overall, it was a good meeting, and we're appreciative that the organization, she decided to reach out for a meeting and introduce herself. Longtime member of the community, so the ramp-up shouldn't be an issue at all. But Mayor, I do want to tell you that the Friends of the River will not be taking back the Labor Day Bridge Walk, so that's still a mayoral partnership between you and the mayor of Corunna. And staff are willing to help with that, but that's going to continue to be organized by you and Mayor LaDuke.
Okay, thank you.
On January 8th, I attended some MDOT training with the city engineer, Gone, the reporting for our streets, our public road and bridge reports will kind of fall to me, and MDOT is changing the dashboard for that reporting, so attended a half-day training on that, on how local projects and costs are reported online, and what cities must do every year to stay in compliance with the transportation reporting requirements. With the city engineer position vacant, I have been stepping in along with Director Suhanek and a couple other staff members to kind of guide the engineering office and make sure that tasks don't fall through the cracks. The smaller stuff, like right-of-way permits, that's going to be handled by the building department. Special assessments and the administration of that will mostly fall to me with the help of one of our quality-based selection engineers that are on staff, are on call to assist with the estimates on those projects. But like I said, Woodlawn is going to be it for a while on special assessments. And I expect that streets will be a very popular topic later this month at your goal setting. And I was talking with Councilman Owens when he called to say he was not able to attend this meeting. Talking with him a little about that, the future of road construction in Owosso, that will be, like I said, probably the main topic of discussion there. But I thank Ryan for helping me with taking up the duties of the city engineer. We did offer the position to somebody from the county, actually, County of Saginaw, but ultimately they declined the offer. So the plan will be to hire a deputy DPW director to manage the office and assist Ryan and the DPW crew with a lot of what they've been doing. And over the last 8 years, this is probably the busiest that DPW and utilities have been, and we don't see that slackening anytime soon, at least for the remainder of the five-year rate study that you completed. There's a lot of work to do, and Ryan's been keeping up very well, but if you drive by City Hall late at night, you'll notice his office is usually lit. That's because he's here working. So this is an opportunity to expand the staff on DPW and get some administrative support for Ryan and some management of the office down there, because we still have a couple people that are in that office. The castle that has been quite the issue lately. For those that did not see my notice a couple weeks ago, we had our new boiler shut down. We don't know why, and it was right in the teeth of that really cold weather. Well, it didn't take long for the castle to freeze up. Most of the radiators are cracked or broken because everything froze. The heat pumps that are part of the air conditioning system, they weren't enough to get the temperature above freezing. So right now, there is temporary forced air that it's basically just a forced air furnace sitting in the basement, just heating from its stack, and it's going up into the first floor in the turret. So right now, the building is up to a comfortable temperature. Everything has thawed out, but we are working with the insurance company on that claim, so not much work has been done. We've winterized, or we've stopped any leak we can find, but everything's shut down right now. But that forced air furnace will keep the building warm enough to when we can resolve the insurance claim. And our plan is to have it open in April when it's scheduled to be open. So more on that, but we have your brother helping us, Mr. Mayor, on kind of shopping around for new radiators that will fit the historic aspect of the building. I actually found a resource between closing time today and the council meeting that I passed along to the assistant city manager on building or locating these more bespoke older radiators. So we don't plan on we plan on respecting the historic nature of the building, but this was a body blow to us. I'm glad it's happening when the castle is closed, but that boiler is brand new, and it just drives me nuts that that old clunker ran just fine, never had an issue with it. It just needed to be replaced, and this new technology failed us somehow. So we're going to get to the bottom of it. The good news is it should be covered on insurance. We'll keep you posted on that. Lastly, I'm very proud to announce that during the MME Winter Conference, Amy and I both attended. She won an award for Most Outstanding City Manager of the Year for 2025. And this is amongst the many assistant city managers around the state. So that was a surprise to her, and I'm very proud to have her working for Owosso. It's not often we are awarded for our work in public service, but to have a statewide association recognize one of us, a very proud moment for me especially. So congratulations to Amy. The MME should have her picture up soon, so we make sure to share that with the public. That's all I had.
Good news. Well deserved. Yeah, we have our staff, including you, city manager, right on down, your whole team. It's excellent. Couldn't have better.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to the next meeting, which would be February the 17th. Remember, we have a special meeting on the 26th of this month. And with that, I'd be looking for a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn. Support.
Motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. We are adjourned.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes.